thoughts on those kind of comparisons?
I think what we are really seeing is the horrific consequences of a violent, exploitative, and extractive U.S. foreign policy once again, not for the first time, but once again coming home. If the United States actually cherishes the lives of these West Virginia National Guardsmen who should not have been in D.C. in the first place to backstop ICE, that's its own issue. But if the United States values their lives and values the lives of other service members and other Americans, that it has an obligation to, in the first instance, stop creating these death squads, to stop creating the conditions that are warping the people who serve in them to the point where they would commit horrific murders like these. That's a cherishing of human life that we never see from the United States in its foreign policy missions around the world.
Spencer Ackerman, I want to thank you very much for being with us. We'll link to your piece, "He Killed for the CIA in Afghanistan, Trump Blames Afghan Culture Instead of Langley's." And we want to thank Sean Van Diver, president of Afghan Evac, and Leila Ayoub, executive director of Project Anar. That does it for our show. I'll be in Sag Harbor on December 4th at the Hamptons Doc Film Festival. Check our website at democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. You have some gravy in your ear. This is Wavy Gravy, Temple of Accumulated Error and Voice of Woodstock, telling you you are listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM. The 90s are the 60s, standing on your head. Yow!
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Join KBOO Community Radio for a KBOO Fights Back campaign. We are raising $75,000 by December 31st to keep community media strong. Stop by the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, for an in-person meet and greet on Saturday, December 6th, or Sunday, December 7th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Meet hosts, producers, board members, and other KBOO members. Enjoy light refreshments, tour the station, and make your year-end gift in person. Learn more at kboo.fm/in-person2025. Thank you for supporting KBOO.
Good morning. You are listening to your community radio station, KBOO. We are broadcasting from 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis via the World Wide Web. It is KBOO.fm. Today is Monday, the 1st of December. The year is 2025. It is approximately 8.02 a.m. And I am Cecil. I will be your host this morning. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and for beginning the week with KBOO. Okay. It's a delight to be with you this morning. So much has happened, and I hope that people who are listening have the opportunity to have a good weekend, and for those who were able to gather with friends, relatives, neighbors, strangers. I hope it was a time of a fellowship, a time of meaningful conversation and ways in which you nurture your soul and one another. Today is the first day of December, and as we enter into the winter months, so much is happening. And so it's important to make sure that we are able to take care of ourselves. So much of commercialism have impacted all of our lives. And leading up to last week, the celebration of a holiday in the United States, with so much anticipation and so much anticipation about what happens after the holiday, particularly in terms of commercialism and selling. And we saw what has become a habit in our society, the commercialization, but more important, the emphasis on business and shopping and all of that. And so much of our lives, and I'm sure many of your lives, is trying to fend off that sort of commercialism and to remain true to yourselves and to be able to live an honorable life. So as this season rev up in terms of holidays, I hope that all of you are taking care of yourselves and one another. Today, I mentioned, is December 1st. And those of you who have your calendar might notice that on December 1st is observed as World AIDS Day. It was first celebrated in 1988. Was established as the first global health day to raise awareness about HIV and AIDS, to show support for those living with the virus and remember those who have died from the disease. This has been a worldwide event that has continued to raise awareness over many, many years. And it's important to continue. Since the first cases of HIV were reported more than 40 years ago, 88 million people have become infected with HIV and 42 million have died from AIDS-related illnesses. The world has been impacted by it, and all of us and our lives have been impacted by this epidemic that has wreaked havoc on our world and in our communities. So, at something which has had such an impact on our society, one would think that the U.S. government will continue to focus on this disease. But many of us discovered, maybe not surprisingly, last week, the Trump administration said that they will no longer commemorate World AIDS Day. The State Department this month instructed employees and grantees not to use funds from the United States government to commemorate the day. And this directive is part of a broader policy in an email that the State Department sent, quote, to refrain from messaging on any commemorative days, including World AIDS Day. And so the administration has said, no, we will not commemorate this. And so I think it's important for us just to remember that and to see what we can do to not only continue to raise awareness, but to allow us to show what type of society we are in. Now, go back to the Trump administration and their refusal to commemorate World AIDS Day. This is something that we can talk about, but we must also recognize that since the administration came back in power in January, the U.S. has wreaked havoc in world health. And the U.S. has refused to live up to its commitment in the global AIDS response. Reducing its commitment, financial resources, to funding not only HIV programs in the United States, but also throughout the world. Well, this is where we live. And this is something that impacts all of our lives. Speaking personally, and for those of you who are younger, who may not have been impacted by this disease and the terror that it impacted many of our communities over the years. I remember many years ago living in New York City, and when people I knew became ill with then a illness that did not have a name, people I knew who became sick and were unable to find help, were unable to get the treatment that they needed. And again, going back decades and whenever before we had even a diagnosis, and people, I had a friend who died lying in his bed and just going to his home and comforting him and putting, you know, a towel over his head, a cool towel. Those were very frightening times. And then amazing things happened. Communities came together and decided that we needed to do something for ourselves. And HIV at that time impacted mostly those who were not accepted by mainstream society. So for gay men and drug addicts were people who were easily discarded, people who were poor, who did not have access to health care. But an amazing thing happened, that the community began to decide that we will do it ourselves. A community of men and women, lesbians and gay men, found one another and found ways to unite and to take care of one another. And so fast forward, you know, many decades after people marching in the streets and people shouting and interrupting business as usual, people such as Larry Kramer and others who said that we have to do something for our lives. And they did, and made a difference. And so on this day, World AIDS Day, when the United States government, under the Trump regime, will not commemorate World AIDS Day, let us continue to do what those people did many decades ago. What people are doing in many parts of the world now, where help, life-saving help, has been ripped away from them. people are banding together and finding ways to build stronger communities. So on this World AIDS Day, although the United States government will not commemorate it or want us to speak about it, let us continue to speak out. Let us continue to say that all people need adequate health care, and that those who are most vulnerable need our attention. So on this World AIDS Day, I commemorate and remember those who are no longer with us, those who continue in the struggle, and for those who will carry on in the future. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and I thank you so much for being a part of our radio community. I began this morning by just sharing a few thoughts about World AIDS Day and my not-so-shock that this administration, the Trump administration, not only is continuing its destruction of our world by global funding cuts on HIV prevention programs and other things, research, but also remembering what people are able to do when they build community. And so I don't want to focus so much on what the Trump administration is not doing, but I'd rather put a focus on what people are doing, how people are finding one another and building community. Let me ask you, and please call in for your thoughts and your reflections. As people gather together this past week, and as they will gather together in the coming weeks and during the holiday season, a challenge for all of us is, how do we survive the holidays? How do we engage with difficult relatives and acquaintances as we prepare the meal, or after we had the opportunity to eat? What are ways in which we find ways to communicate with those who are difficult to get along with? This is something that we all have to deal with, unless we refuse to engage with anyone. There's a possibility that when we have a holiday meal or gathering, that we are going to engage with people who are a bit difficult. What are things that you do or remind yourself to preserve your integrity, but also ways in which you are able to share with one another? How do you manage the holidays? Do you avoid it? Do you avoid people? What are ways to get survive? And not only survive, maybe to also thrive. What are your holidays suggestions to survive and to thrive? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Give us a call and share. I need your help. I need your advice. How do you survive? How do you get along with people who are difficult to talk with? And what are ways and things you do to get along with difficult people? And how do you manage? How do we manage to have a meaningful, or maybe even a really good holiday? I have a friend who visited their relatives in that great state of Texas, and they're on their way back, and they were just talking about how terrible, not maybe terrible, but how challenging it is. But let's hear some of your thoughts, some of your suggestions, some of your ideas. Surviving the holidays, surviving or thriving? Good morning. Good morning, Edie.
What helps me is my background as a field biologist, where I see all the different living beings that belong together and support each other. And so I think the same law of the universe cannot have human beings as the one exception. I just don't see universal law having exceptions. And so if these people, and I'm a parent, mm-hmm. have come into my life, I see that I'm uniquely the best parent for them. It doesn't necessarily mean that they like me the best or that I enjoy them the most, but that I have the skills, the background, the qualities, the commitment, the whatever, to give them the best parenting that they need for their soul growth, and that they're going to challenge me for my soul growth. And so when I come to the with the belief that we belong together, that we fit, and that we're here for our mutual good. And my life purpose is, of course, to live and to love and to learn, but mostly to serve and to bless others. I'm here to heal the world, one person, one moment at a time. And so someone comes and they're very contemptuous, they're very critical, that I'm thinking, well, maybe they're trying to create emotional distance because they're afraid of connection. Maybe they're afraid that I will see their hidden parts they're ashamed of or criticize them. Or maybe they're afraid of feeling heartbroken. I was brutalized by police and they don't want to see me dead again. And so it's easier to not feel, you know, to just put a wall between them and me and their heart. Or maybe I'm seeing someone bragging a lot and I'm thinking, maybe, I don't know, I'm not God, I don't know what they're thinking, but I can imagine and brainstorm a lot of explanations that all go back to we're just human and we're all messed up, believing things that are not true, not knowing the truth, and being scared and confused, and then using coping mechanisms that may have worked when we were a little kid, but are counterproductive now, and we all do that.
Yes,
I'm no less guilty than anyone else, so it gives me a sense of our shared humanity, caring curiosity, because I think each and every detail of each and every person, and each and every situation, and even each and every sensation is exactly, precisely, perfect for me here and now, for the individualized lessons and blessings I need for my growth and grace, for my soul work, for my part in the healing of the world and the world healing me. Because I know that, I'm going to be curious. I'm going to be trusting. I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be flexible and open-hearted and open-minded a little bit more. I'm going to be adventurous. This is like a child. I was a child development specialist, too. See how they're exploring the world and they're experimenting with it without necessarily an agenda. And if it doesn't go the way the baby expects, like peekaboo, they can laugh at the unexpected. Well, I can have that open-mindedness. And so I'm going to be like playing a puzzle. This is a brain teaser game. Why are they acting like that? I don't know. I'm not going to assume I know, but I'm going to experiment or explore different concepts and theories. Maybe it's because they're scared.
Yes.
And they want to feel safe.
Right.
Through bragging, through withdrawal, through drugs or alcohol, through overeating, through busyness, through overachievement, whatever it is. because, you know, capitalism messes it all up. And so I can have empathy and compassion because I've been scared and dumb too. And then I can have a little bit more grace for them. And I've gotten through a lot of crappy stuff. Indeed. So I know I can survive torture and rape and holding my dead baby and, you know, being shot by the cops. I know I can handle a lot of hard stuff. And 4.5 hours with obnoxious family members is doable.
Okay.
And so I'm going to spend this time practicing me being the adult in the room, not that I have to act like they're little children. I'm going to practice being the Christian. I'm going to practice being the Christian anarchist. I'm going to be practicing being the best I can moment by moment, and I'm going to blow it, and then I'm going to forgive myself, and I try harder. And I'm going to provide, like I'm a street medic on the streets, that contagious calm, that community of caring, that I'm going to be that example that I want in the world, even if I'm my own little candle flame in the dark, like we were standing around Occupy Portland Parks, you know, singing that little song. I'm going to have my love, my caring curiosity, my adventurousness, my willingness. I don't have the money to travel to another country, but I can travel to a different country's perspective on the same old people I've lived with all my life and now see them from a views of grace.
Thank you so much. In those few minutes, you've shared so much. And I just want to highlight a few words you express. A shared humanity, courageous, curious, open-mindedness, empathy, having some grace for others, and community of caring. Thank you for leading with your heart and showing us that possibility. Thank you so much, Edie. You're listening to More Talk Radio on numbers of 503-231-8187. Caller Edie shared a little bit about how she engages with those around her and seeing, recognizing our shared humanity. What are some of your thoughts? Let's go to our next caller. Jeff, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Cecil. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
I'm always deeply impressed by what Edie has to say, and I would love to have a meal with her, even with relatives that are a little sketchy, because I think Edie is very wise. Mm-hmm. I wanted to thank you for mentioning the fact that today is World AIDS Day. I have lived with HIV/AIDS since 1984, and I would refuse to go all maudlin on you and tell you about the scores of friends that I've lost.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because that's just maudlin for the sake of being maudlin. Mm. I wanted to let you know, and anyone listening know, that the key is to protect yourself, because more than ever, you are indeed on your own. It's worth mentioning, however, that of all persons, George Walker Bush recognized the desperate need for help.
Yes.
And founded what is called PEPFAR.
Yes.
For AIDS relief in Africa.
Yes.
And of course, we know that that's being thrown off the back of the truck.
Yes.
But let us be grateful that there are those in our lives who actually give a damn.
Exactly.
I'm going to have to go now because I really need to cry.
Yeah.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff, for sharing. And you not only need to cry, I think I do as well. That epidemic, especially for the decades when, I'll speak personally, it seems as if there would be no answer, literally the walking dead. And thank you, Jeff, for highlighting President Bush, and just recognizing that that president's ability to recognize something that needed to be done. When the COVID pandemic came around a few years ago, I used to laugh with friends and saying, well, we survived HIV, AIDS, and we can survive this as well. But I want to not only remember those and honor those who continue to live and survive living with HIV, AIDS, but also to remember and recall those who lost their lives and died, too many alone, too many times holding, standing outside, unable to, in those early days, to hold and to hug a loved one. But what I learned from those years is the strength of humanity, the strength of community. And as Edie shared earlier today, just generally in terms of caring for one another, I think among the lessons I learned from HIV, AIDS, and from COVID is that a community of caring is a way in which we can build a better world, to have grace for one another, to have empathy, to know that the other person is someone that we should care for, and that we are there for one another. Those are lessons we can learn. And perhaps those are lessons that can encourage us when we sit down at that holiday meal with that difficult relative, as Edie reminded us, to have grace and to recognize that other person can be there for us and that we share a common humanity. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil Prescott, and our numbers are 503-231-8187. This morning, we took a little different route in our morning discussion, and because I wanted to focus on when things aren't going well, what do we do? How do we live? And I started by just noticing, you know, today is World AIDS Day, and also noticing that holidays can be very difficult for many people because we're oftentimes brought together and unable to get along. And how do we survive? Well, some of those skills we gain are skills that we can learn with one another. And as Edie shared with us earlier on, to have compassion one with one another. And I'd also like to thank Jeff for calling and sharing and allowing us to hear and participate in their conversations. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Maybe you have something to share this morning about how we get along with one another, how we might share with one another, and how we survive. Let me put a little, what I hope will be a little bug in your ear for next week's program here on KBOO. We'll have... joining us will be some people from some organizers from the Portland Gray Panthers, and the focus will be on elections and Oregon future for 2026. Yes, elections and Oregon futures for 2026. Some of the Gray Panthers organizers will join us for that conversation next week, and I think Edie, who you heard earlier, may also join us. So those are next week. Tune in for a community conversation with a local social justice organization, the Gray Panthers. We've heard a lot of what they've been doing historically and what they are doing here, organizing around a multitude of issues. But we'll have some conversation next week with some of the organizers from the Portland Gray Panthers. But in the meantime, this is a time for you to share with us. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And let's hear from our next caller, Tuasi. Good morning, Tuasi.
Good morning. You know, for whatever reason, I'm the difficult person, especially around the holidays, partially because I'm indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
And this country was built on our massacre, enslavement, and the theft of our land. So for me to celebrate these, like, I don't know, Veterans Day, or like, you can pick any number of them.
Right, yeah.
But especially Christian holidays,
mm-hmm.
I'm difficult to be around because I don't pull any punches. I don't pretend that it's something besides what it is, right? Because
sure.
The reality for me is that we live under Christo-fascism. You know, we can't pretend it's something different. I mean, we can pretend it's something different, but it would be disingenuous. And I hold people to account for that. I don't just shrug off Christo-fascism as a non-issue. It's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't, those of us who are invested in reality, can't just step aside for the comfort of people who, you know, want Christo-fascism.
So let me ask.
They want it.
Right. Let me ask you, because of your honesty and your truthfulness, what do you do when in those situations with gatherings? People gather, and you can be an irritable person, or it sounds like you can say, this isn't the way things are. How do you make a headway? How do people hear you? How do you have meaningful, conversations, or what happens?
Well, for me, I try and focus on what's real.
Okay.
You know, because part of the problem is that people disconnect from reality.
Mm, okay.
So we just had Native American Heritage Month end.
Yes.
As of today. But that doesn't discount the fact that churches were deployed by the federal government to dispossess us of our religion and our land.
Yes.
So the way that I do it is to be very genuine about what is real. Mm-hmm. This is something that a lot of people struggle with, but you can't reconcile your differences if you aren't being honest.
That's true.
So you got to be honest with each other, and that's my main tactic is just to be honest. I genuinely appreciate relationships with my family.
Uh-huh.
Do I want to hang out with my Christo-fascist family? No. I don't call them. I don't go to their functions. I'm not interested in what my, you know, nephews are up to, because they're being indoctrinated into a line of belief that is destroying the entire planet. We have to be honest with each other. We can't pretend like it's not the Christo-fascism leading to the imminent destruction of the planet. Mm-hmm. Our biosphere is collapsing because these people have their hands on the levers of power, and we can't just glad hand them. Mm-hmm. There was too much of that around the AIDS epidemic of glad handing the people who were watching our relatives die. I lost my friends and family to the AIDS epidemic. And I had to, among my first social activist causes was acknowledging that AIDS actually was a problem, because the federal government wouldn't even recognize it as a problem.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, trying to talk to your relatives at that time and say, look, it's a problem that people are dying from the AIDS epidemic. And they're like, there's not even, it doesn't even exist. You're delusional.
No.
Like, no, this is a real problem. We have to deal with it. And getting them to even acknowledge the truth is the first step.
Yeah.
So you have to be honest. And I would just say, like, even if you are into glad handing people and just kind of like, I don't know how you want to say it, but mm-hmm. lying to their face for the sugar coating, you know, even if you're into that, you're not going to create a better world.
Yes. The need for honesty. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you for your honesty. And let's hear, that was Tuasi, and let's hear from our next caller, Santiago, I believe, is on the line.
How are you this morning?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing all right myself. I have to second what Tuasi was saying. You know, honesty really is the best policy, and there's so much lie. I mean, people call it a mythology, but it's lies. You know, what we're taught to believe about, you know, I mean, you know, I take it one step further. Not only at the time was the federal government not doing anything, they were touting it as a cure to homosexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, the rise of the moral majority with Ronald Reagan, you know, they fully expected people to die and were perfectly happy watching people die. I mean, they were calling it gay-related.
Gay religion, yeah.
Gay-related something, you know.
Grid,
and it's like... Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't until, like, straight people started losing family members that they actually felt like they should have to do something about it.
Amen.
You know, and that's kind of like, you know, kind of like how he was saying, like, we live under Christo-fascism. It wasn't fascism until it landed on the doorsteps of the white man, you know, mm-hmm. or at least, you mm-hmm. know, people who were mm-hmm. middle class or upper class who were thought untouchable by the whims of the market, you know, especially under a neoliberal capitalism. You know, it's a, you know, indigenous people have been running, you know, we've been running this race for 500 years,
right?
You know, but yes. because, you know, lots of folks could excuse it, you know, mm-hmm. it hasn't been a problem.
Right.
So, I mean, but yeah, but I mean, the point is like, honesty is always the best policy, especially when you're building community. Mm-hmm. I don't really mess with any of my, Christian relatives. I think it's, you know, I just, you know, like I have Black liberation folks that I kick it with, but even then, like, you know, like I don't get into arguments about theology because we won't get anything done.
Oh.
Because you know, I think the I, you know, but I just well, that, you know, but I
well let me yeah so. Yeah, yeah, I appreciate what you said, that, you know, there's folks like, you know, I don't even go there with them, but you know, there's a, how do you have relationships? I mean, do you have a desire to have relationship with, you know, those Christian relatives, or is there any basis for meaningful engagement with you, or do you just say, ah, I have better things to do?
I mean, really, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I mean, if you're willing to respect where I'm coming from, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to do that. But I think a lot of that is like fetishizing, like reaching across the aisle. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you gonna, as a Tuasi say, why are you gonna glad hand with someone who, like, inwardly, you know, whose political desires actually seek your destruction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not willing to. Yeah, I'm. Well, no, I am. I'm saying that I'm willing to cut ties with, at least in my personal life. Now, if we're talking politics out in the street, that's a different. But in terms of like keeping my peace when I'm not doing when I'm not doing social justice work or activism in the community. My you know, I definitely, you know, my chosen family and the blood family that I keep around me are definitely my peace. Mm-hmm. But I don't make company with fascists, and I don't desire to have relationships with people who want to see me destroyed.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's, you know, people say like, well, you know, you're personalizing politics, and it's like politics are personal.
Personal. Yes.
You know, it's like, justice in public is what love looks like in private.
Yes.
So if you're denying me justice in public, then you are denying love to me. You're denying me humanity. And, I think that's something worth being 10 toes down on. Now, you know, I know a lot of, you know, you got a lot of white listeners out here, and, you know, and they have family who definitely stress, and, you know, and if you feel like that's something you want to do, more power to you. I support you. You want to talk to me about like talking points you want to give them, 100% I'm there for you. But in terms of investing my personal time, no, sir, I ain't trying. You know, I've tried that, you know, and at the very least, if you're going to talk to people, understand that the point of talking to them about it should not be to change their mind. The point is to get them to shut up and to put some words on them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
There's
this thing in the Bible where it talks about like putting words on your heart, you know, because I used to study with a rabbi. And he said, you know, like, why would you put the words on your heart and not in your heart? And it says, you know, because when your heart breaks, that's what you let in. And if you got those words on your heart, they're going to mean something different when something affects you enough to let those words in. So if we're speaking those words into their life, you know, in an effect to get them to just be quiet, you know, maybe something will happen. Well, they'll actually hear you.
You know what I mean? I hear. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, continue being honesty. I appreciate it. Honesty is the best policy. Thank you, Santiago. And you're listening to More Talk Radio. We've been talking about difficult conversations, getting along with people that you don't need to get along with. I think Janet has some ideas for us. Janet, are you there?
Actually, I'm listening today and really soaking up such an extraordinary comments and wisdom of the people that call into your show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel a little bit broken, and I love what that woman, First Lady, said. She like knows everything and
yes.
seems so evolved.
Yes,
and then here comes Santiago with the Leonard Cohen. You know, it's okay if you're cracked up, lady, because it's going to work out if you. Hang in there for a while and let the light in, because sometimes we have such a broken culture and such a bad competition way of our children being raised and all of us living with such shame and guilt and regret and such a difficult passageway, and then
yes.
wishing that we could. We don't really need to martyr ourselves completely and to have the confidence and the courage to weigh into a discussion. Sometimes it's very difficult because people out of insecurity, they're like so neurotic on these huge control trips. And then because
yes.
it just seems too much, we find all different ways to compensate with all our numerous various addictions.
Right.
Especially the worst one this time of the year, it's somebody wrote the book about consumer, buy everything,
yes.
go outside of ourselves. I think the one beautiful, I think really people think astrology is kind of nutty. I don't really know, but they call this retrograde thing like Mercury. They say you better not sign anything because it's going to go, you know, wacko, Mercury retrograde. But Jupiter retrograde, I think it's pretty wonderful because they talk about instead of going out and trying to reaching out and grabbing everything everywhere and extending yourself, you go within yourself.
Okay.
If you can really kind of find some calm within yourself, it's a big deal because we live in such a crazed world. It's just hard to find enough peace and quiet
yes.
and patience with yourself to let yourself off the hook, to recognize that we're all works in progress, hopefully, even in this lifetime, extraordinary that we're having this kind of conversation via you, and having the openness to extend with each other sincerely, and recognize, well, Cecil, you're perfect. Thank you for the opportunity to hold this platform. Bless you.
Thank you so much, Janet. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Tell me again, who's our next caller? James is next. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Cecil. How are you doing today?
I am well. And you? Thank you for calling.
Good. Oh, of course. It's been a bit. Well, first, thank you for holding space for this conversation, like your previous callers have said. And I, too, really appreciate today's comments. This is a really challenging conversation to have, where we can be in spaces where you're sometimes in conversation with others when they don't acknowledge the dignity of yourself, or they don't acknowledge the dignity of those that you love. And when I've been in those conversations, I don't always know how well I've handled them. You get this rage of emotions that builds up inside of you. But I've found that I've come to respect people who first take the time to remember their own dignity, their own self-worth, and live their life in such a way where sometimes in the face of hate, they don't forget their value. And I just want to prop up those people, because it's a challenge. And in my own journey, I think around the issue of the LGBT community, for example, we all live in a world of homophobia, and my journey was one where in the church I was taught a lot of homophobia, and got to that place where, well, of course I like gay people and love them, and it's also a sin. And I realized that isn't at all love, because if you aren't truly respecting this person, their humanity, and something divine in them, I just came to this place where I could care less if I'm right or wrong on some of these issues. I want to know when people leave their homes, they're safe.
Yes.
They're loved. And I want to also be in places of worship and celebration with others, where they can be free to celebrate and worship. And that's kind of where I'm at in my journey.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow.
Thank you for, again, this conversation today. It's a very important one, and we're still on this journey of making sure that people have, can live in a world where they have safety and dignity and respect. So thank you, Cecil.
Thank you, James. Thank you for sharing this morning. I appreciate your thoughts. You're listening to More Talk Radio. That was James, who reminded us to, in conversations with people, we need to remember your own dignity and live your life in such a way that does not subvert your value. Thank you, James. And I think we have one more caller here online, at least one more. Let's go to Tangent. Good morning, Tangent.
Hey, I just wanted to say, so about the Thanksgiving holiday kind of you mentioned, first of all, the first thing I realized is that 40 or 50, this subject wouldn't even be discussed. There were tensions, obviously, but everything was focused on how wonderful it was to get together. And I'm glad some of that's still around. But I was thinking about football games. People will watch football games. I'm not a sports fan, and I won't, but and maybe it's possible that one team, somebody's from somewhere, and they're going to root for that team, and the people where they're visiting are rooting for the home team, or what it is, okay?
Right.
And so they can argue all the way through it in a jovial way. Oh, that was whatever. And then, but when one loses, they're not going to remain enemies. They're going to go back and, you know, joke or talk about, well, who did what wrong. Blame it on the guy, the quarterback.
Right, right. Well, why can't we? Before you go to your second point, why don't we do that more in live? You know,
exactly,
black football.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, anyway. Okay, so I won't make a metaphor to politics, but anyhow, I just want to point out Trump, he talks about waste. Well, he just wasted the justice's time in releasing this narco idiot, you know, demon, basically. And how much, hundreds of thousands or perhaps millions, and people's career, how much they poured into that, you know, that's not simply just money. Anyway, yeah, so there, I guess he just, I won't even comment on the irony or whatever else or contrast. No, he lies and he doesn't care, and he expects us to just go jumping around on this thing he said and that thing he said, and I don't waste my time with him, but, I mean, you do have to listen.
Right.
But if there's anybody else, I'll get off if there's a few. Is there anybody else online?
Okay, not yet, but we will running down, but I appreciate what you're saying, and, yeah, if you reminded us to, we can, like, argue over football in a jovial way, and we're not mortal enemies at the end of the game, so maybe we can do that with life. Thank you so much, Tangent, for calling and for sharing your thoughts on that. And for all of our callers this morning, we are engaged. We do need to be in conversation with people we may not get along with, but as many of our callers reminded us, we have to be true to ourselves and know who we are, and then respond with dignity, with openness, recognizing, as Edie said, our shared humanity and create a community of caring. Jeff reminded us of the challenges we face and the life we lost by our inability to meet people where they were as they suffer and as they are ill. Tuasi and Santiago reminded us to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with one another. And James also reminded us of our own dignity, to live your life in such a way that you do not subvert your values. Those are all things we can do and that we can say. And, you know, I think it was Tangent who mentioned the pardon of, well, the president and his, there's so much that's going wrong. The bombing of fishing ships and that's happening. The pardon of the former Honduran president. At the same time, she's talking about he's bombing these sailors because they're narco terrorists. But what a world we live in. Nevertheless, as people reminded me this morning, thank you all, that we have a shared humanity, that we are called for the healing of the world. Remain curious, remain courageous, remain open-minded. Do not lose your empathy, and be willing to have those difficult conversations. Maybe not even conversations, just be able to listen. Because sometimes people just need someone to listen. I hope you are able to be a listening ear. I hope there is someone for you to hear you. In all things, let us be a community for one another. You are listening to your community radio station, and there is going to be some exciting things happening. I don't want to jump the gun, but come tomorrow. There's something's happening with KBOO, our year-end drive, but I can hardly wait. Begins tomorrow, but I won't jump the gun. But you can jump the gun and contribute to KBOO Fights Back, a year-end drive. And I don't know if I'd be penalized by starting a day early, but so be it. Let's try to raise, our goal is $75,000 for the year-end drive. Thank you all for being supporters. Thank you all for building community. Thank you all for who you are. And I'm Cecil, and I will speak with you next time.
This is our KBOO Fights Back campaign. KBOO knows the importance of community media when we need it most.